Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you come in the name of the Lord? Then you're blessed. That means you're happy. You are to be envied. So many people say, I'm blessed, and I look at and hear, that's primary. Where's the blessing at? I don't want to be like you. We all go through stuff. But I never hear anything positive come out of some people. Oh, the devil's after me again. Well, of course he is. You love God. He'd be after you without God. We have, you know, Angela and I were sitting over coffee the other morning, and we were just talking about the different things the devil has done against this body. The devil did them. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Always remember that. If there's something that happens in your life, God didn't do it. He may have allowed it to happen, just as Job. But he did not do it. God knew Job would come through. God knows you will come through. You have to stand your ground. You, I still love this saying. I love that picture, and I wish I had it to put it up on the screen for you. It's got this chimpanzee holding a .45 in a suit, and it says, if you came to fight, fight like you're the third monkey on the Noah's Ark, and it's starting to rain. You're going to fight for your place on that ark. That's the way you've got to fight the devil. Rolling over, doing what we call the dead cockroach. It's where you laid on your back and that isn't how you fight the devil. You start blessing God just like this. I was sitting here thinking, and if you've never paid attention to most of our songs, we do not sing songs to try to build us up. Our songs are geared, and we pay attention to the lyrics to make sure that they are a declaration to God and giving him worship and glory. There's lots of songs out there that build you up. Yeah, there's a whole realm of music you can listen to, whether you like bluegrass or you like rock. It doesn't matter. You can even like rap. They've got it. But when we come together to worship God, ladies and gentlemen, when you worship God, the devil wants to shut you up. The first thing he goes is it overwhelms your mind. And when your mind is overwhelmed, what's the last thing wanting to come out of your mouth is praise. You've got to let that out. That's why I'm telling you, if you're having hard times getting through, praise and worship is as much important as getting here for the word. You've got to have a plow. Something's got to break that ground. We can go to no-till, but there is still a blade that goes through and cuts that ground. The ground has to be broken up, and your heart will receive that word that comes later. So don't ever forget that. Don't forget the devil wants to shut you up. Well, if I just overpower their minds and get them thinking about 10 different things, that's why I don't focus on the news. I don't care what's happening in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to be cleared. That's it. He's the man God chose for the hour, whether you like him or not. Darius did not serve God. But yet he was the man God chose for the hour. And honestly, and some things I've read in historical references to Balaam, Balaam may not have actually served God. He knew God. He was, for lack of a better word, what they called a mystic. That's why he was for hire. He'd talk whatever God you wanted. But God uses them. Now we need to not let the stuff that's happening in Washington, in Columbus, in China. Oh, China's got the coronavirus. I thought the coronavirus was a joke. Because I'm like, Corona? Who would really name their thing after a beer? But that's what it is. But don't worry about it. God has told us there's things that are going to happen. Don't let them bother you. Don't let them hinder you. The New Testament tells us, Paul said this, I am firmly persuaded in neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor anything can separate me from the love of God. None of that matters. We as the body had better be praising Him, better be praying, and better be living like we're supposed to. We do that, ladies and gentlemen. I think, and that was something else we were talking about. You know, when you've messed up, you know when you've messed up, right? You don't want to go to God, do you? You don't want to go boldly before His throne. Paul said we can now come boldly before the throne. You mess up, the first thing that comes upon you is guilt and condemnation. Paul also said there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus to those who love Him. There's no condemnation. Yeah, you messed up. You go boldly before that throne. And you stand before God. And you receive what He's got. Amen. Right there it is. It's mercy. It's mercy. Amen. Amen. So let that be what you are focusing on. And all the stuff going on around the world. Well, Pastor, I heard that they're mobilizing units in Korea and China. And so? Well, they're going to come after us. So? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Contrary to popular belief, we are still here. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, well, we're going to bless the tithe and offering this morning. And if you've got a prayer request, at this juncture, you're going to have to give it to the usher. But if you do, if you need one, he's got the blank forms that you can write out your prayer request and get it to him before we pray. Because today is War on the Floor. Obviously, we got some things in this country to be praying about. That's how we deal with it. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the spin doctors are going to spin it to where you didn't show up. You can go pick it all you want. They're going to take a picture of 5 hours before the event, and well, there was only 20 people there, when really there was 100,000. They don't want the truth to be known. But love rejoices in the truth. The truth is, we've already won. We've already won. Yeah, we've got to stand our ground, but we've already won. Amen. So, anyhow, well, let's bless this. Father God in heaven, we thank You and we praise You for Your many blessings in our lives. But Father, we thank You that one of them we can do is to tithe and give offerings. Now, Father, I bless this. I bless this according to Your word, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, You said men will give unto our bosoms. Now, Father, I bless the tithe. I bless the offering. Father, I pray that You move on it as You have said in Your word in Malachi and in everywhere else, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Oh, yeah. Let me give this to you. I was going to grab that. I'm not certain how it got there. Oh, who did Keith?
Patrick.
Oh, yeah. I get it now. For those of you that don't know, there was this little thing on Facebook yesterday that went around something about me, the Super Bowl, and Gatorade, and it was brought up that maybe I needed to be Gatorated. And Phil said he would volunteer, but I can still outrun Phil. I may hobble, but I can get around him. I'm not stupid. I go to the shortest door. But praise God. Well, I'll tell you, this week as I was in my office and I was studying, and I was studying a part that we're not going to get to today. And man, the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and And I told Angela, I said, I don't know what happened. I said, I was just sitting and I read that and something came over me and I just wanted to weep. And I said, God's word is powerful if people will get hold of it and stand on it. That's why Paul said, and having done all to stand, stand. There comes a point where you've done everything you can do. You're on your knees. But you find something that can motivate you. I like to use analogies that people have seen. Most of you in here watch The Grinch, right? The revelation he had that Christmas wasn't in packages, boxes, and bows. But that Christmas was something that didn't come like that. And as that sleigh was about to go over the top of Mount Crumpet, he found the strength that he couldn't muster. The strength came and he stood the thing up and rode it back down the hill. Ladies and gentlemen, when we are knocked down, you're going to get knocked down. Don't ever, listen, if a preacher's telling you you got knocked down, you're a sinner and you're not worthy, quit listening to them. Because if I remember right, I hear we've been knocked down, persecuted, but we're not defeated. How many times did Rocky get knocked down? Come on. That's why we love him so much. He got knocked down, he kept getting back up. All the time. I watched Nacho Libre last night. Don't know why. Y'all know where I'm going. And he's underneath the foot of Ramesses, the ultimate fighter, wrestler. And he's about to lose, and something gets his attention. Love. And he found the strength to get out from underneath somebody else's foot and defeat them. Why are you going to fight? Why are you going to get up? Why are you going to keep moving? For love. And if you don't understand what love is, then you're never going to do it, because I guarantee you, we've all seen love in different, what some people call love. I beat you because I love you. The Bible does not say that. He disciplines. Huge difference between abuse and discipline. Discipline is metered out. Abuse is just rage and fury. That's it. You embarrassed me. That's no reason to discipline a child. If they embarrassed you, you should be embarrassed because you didn't do your job. You did not train up your child in the way they should go. You failed. Now, yeah, you are going to have to talk to them about that. You're going to have to do something. But to go in and wail on the child who doesn't have any clue what they just did, it's no reason. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Remember, love. This is what we're talking about. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. We looked at iniquity last week and started on the truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? We know things have to be revealed. Jesus told the disciples, he said, who do the people say I am? Some said he's a prophet. Some said John the Baptist. Some said Elijah come back from the dead. And then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And Peter, the son of Jonah, said, you are Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, Peter, blessed are you. Blessed, happy to be envied are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. We just sang a song there in Hosanna, right? Talking about the things unseen. What's unseen? That was unseen. Nobody else picked up that he was the Son of God. But the person who was close to him, the person who was watching his every move, he was revealed to be the Son of God to that person. Peter was far from perfect. I don't know why we're striving for perfection. We will never attain perfection. You think I'm kidding? Drop something on your toe, bend down, hit your head on the countertop, fall back, hit your head on the other cabinet, and tell me what thoughts just went through your mind. You weren't thinking, oh, bless you, Jesus. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. You kind of lose things a little bit. Or somebody cuts you off in traffic. That's one, I don't care who you are. Somebody just whip right out in front of you. The one I love is where they whip right out in front of you and 50 yards turn. Oh, in front of a whole line of traffic coming. Now you got to wait. There was nobody behind you for 2 miles. And they didn't even use a turn signal. Yeah, that makes it even worse. But praise God, God's mercy is in our life. Mercy flows through his love. And if we extend his love, his mercy to people, he extends it to us. And that's why it's important for us to know. Love does not rejoice in somebody's sin, somebody getting caught in their sin. We do rejoice in the justice, the truth. Now, where I was going all with all this was still staying in the area of we have sowing and reaping. Okay? You do something, you will reap a harvest. When a farmer plants one seed in the ground, he's not expecting one seed to come back. You plant one kernel of corn, you might get 100, 200 back. Stop and think about that for just a moment on the stupid things you've done. Do you really want that harvest? No. You need to start calling forth crop failure. Lord, I speak a drought over all the stupid things I've done, stupid things I've said, the people I've hurt. And if God reveals the people you've hurt, the Bible says go to them. Go to them. Yeah, it's going to hurt when they tell you, yes, you hurt me. But I believe the Bible says something about faithful are the wounds of a brother. It hurt hearing it back. But God will heal those. You will understand next. Because now you can empathize with people. You can feel for them. I shouldn't have said that. That was really harsh to them. It's really hard sometimes, even up here. I mean, every time I preach, sometimes y'all been here long enough. Monday morning, I wake up and the devil's just throwing everything right back at me. Oh, what about this person? Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh, Jesus, am I really called to preach? It hits me. The devil wants to make me doubt the word that God spoke through me the day before. Yes, I do have a filter. Trust me, there's a filter on. But I believe in speaking the truth plainly so that we understand. We have gotten the word of God so frou-frou-y anymore and poetically. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What does that mean? I'm dying. No, you're alive and well, and the gates of hell have come at you. Anybody relate on that? Yeah, every last one of us can. I will not fear the evil. I will overcome. I will conquer. I will not be brought down. Our Bible says, oh, Hades, how you have been brought down. You are brought down. You are humbled before God, is what he's saying. We should remember that. There came a point at my first duty station overseas that it took me a while to get to there. I mean, is anybody else, you're kind of slow to adapt to the way things are going to be that you can't change. I'm not saying you just accept them, that you can never change them. But there was, if you've never been in the military, you do not know the definition of stupidity. Right, guys? Military intelligence is definitely an oxymoron. More moron than oxy. Battles are not won because of intelligence. It's won because of bravery and brotherhood. But there came a point in all my room, there was only one guy, and he was just a year in earlier than us, but then all of us in there were boots. It means we had under, we were a year or under in service. We were boots. One corporal called us Rudy Toot Boots. I hated that until I became a corporal. Then I loved it. Rudy Toot Boot. Do I smell jet fuel? You just got off the bird. You know what kind of bees don't fly? New bees. But anyhow, we had this saying, what are they going to do? Shave my head, send me to boot camp. Been there, got the bozo button to prove it. What are they going to do? Take away my birthday? What are they going to do to me? And when you start understanding that you don't have to you don't have to like everything. You sometimes just got to go with it. Things will change. As was the case, things changed all the time. We're going to go do this. Oh, nope, we all ran over there, got our weapons and got our packs and everything. And, oh, nope, stand down. And the Marine Corps does not believe in shipping people places in trucks. They gave us Cadillacs for a reason. If you don't know what Cadillac is, it's black boots. And we wore them out. And I hated it. I was in motor transport. I really hated it. But we've got to start understanding what truth is. And understand that in our lives, in people's lives, somebody may get arrested. Somebody may be apprehended. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap. That's why I tell you, whatever you've done in your past, turn your back on it. Call for crop failure. Now, I don't know if many of you have been paying attention. This is what I'm talking about when I, let's say, don't listen to what the world, don't listen to what is going on. People will twist the truth. And whether you like Paula White or not is immaterial. She said something the other day about calling for miscarriage of satanic babies. I thought, let's follow, let me. And I got in there and one person said, I don't even follow this person. And I don't even like her. But that is not what she said. She was not calling for people who aren't saved to have miscarriages. She was talking about spiritual seeds to die. That's what she was talking about. I call it crop failure. You don't get in trouble that way. We have all sown seeds that we don't want to come up. How many of you have ever gone through the weeds? You know, I like to pick berries. And inevitably, you come back and you have got cockleburrs stuck in your shoes. And if you had longer, see, it don't stick in my hair no more. It's too short. Sometimes I'd get them in my hair. Because if you want the really good berries, you got to go in deep. That's where they're at. Everybody, oh, well, there's just a little bit. Oh, no, move those weeds and go in there where all them berries are at. And I love doing that. I'd come out cut up and bleeding and a full belly. I always ate more than I picked. But see, when you're walking through the yard and you're pulling those cockleburrs off, you're planting seeds in your yard. And you're like, where did that stupid thing come from? Why is that in my yard? Because you planted it. Out of ignorance. Just like if you're sitting there on the porch and you start eating that watermelon. You're spitting all them seeds out. What's coming up in 3 weeks? A watermelon. Next to your petunias. The ones you weed every day. The ones you water every day. And you're like, why? Why is that there? Because a seed was sown. It's not where that seed should have been sown, but it got sown there. We have to be careful in our own lives about the seeds we sow. Because Paul was talking to the Galatians, and he wanted them to understand something. God will not be mocked. I learned some interesting things about the word mocked. Mukerizo, to turn up one's nose, hence to mock or deride. You don't exist. You have no effect in my life. Mocked means contempt, since that's what they've used the word in our language. Contempt, the number three definition. The punishable act of showing disrespect for the authority or dignity of a court, as by disobedience, unruliness, etc. That is what it says. God will not stand for people to say, oh no, there's no repercussions from the things I've done. Want to bet? They come back. Now, God was telling Noah in Genesis that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest is a real thing. Not only in the physical, but the spiritual. As long as this earth is here, it will come back. And I believe that's part of the reason why God has to create a new heaven and a new earth. People receive a harvest for the seeds they've sown. We as the church should not throw a party rejoicing in someone's sin catching up to them. Oh, hallelujah, that crooked politician got it. No, that is not what the church should be doing. Well, Pastor, I'm glad they got caught. We should be glad that justice will now prevail. But pray for them. The Bible tells us to pray for people who spitefully use us. And people that circumvent the judicial system, the political system, for their own desires, they lie. God has already said they will receive their harvest. It's coming. Justice will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What song was we just sang about that? Your will be done on earth. Blessed are those who dwell in his house. Your will be done on earth. Jesus prayed it. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here, let me help you out. People think I'm getting away from doing the will of God down here. Guess what? The will of God up there stands. And you kneel. You submit to the will of God. It's not optional. You don't get to mock. God will not be mocked. I prayed for Osama bin Laden, not only to be stopped, but to find Jesus Christ. I don't appreciate politicians lying and twisting and setting people up. But here's where you start finding mercy. What or who made them that way? You are who you are. You do things the way you do because of what you grew up through. You grew up not trusting people. People always lied to you. Guess what? You're never going to trust people. Why? Because people lied to you. You've got to forgive. And these people are stuck in their sins. That's why. You can hate Maxine Waters all you want. But you want to know something? Angela was right on this. She grew up in the days of segregation. Oh yeah, you two were talking about that. She grew up in those days of segregation. She remembers being told she couldn't use the bathroom. Did we somewhere miss that all men were created equal? All men. That includes women. Men is a generic term. Women today, they don't want to be called women. But men, it's a generic term. Because I'll tell you right now, I've seen people of the male species, of our species, who I don't call men. They do not qualify to be called men. Little boys. Children. Seed sown always produce that larger than sown harvest. We should pray for those to find salvation in Christ Jesus. You want to move in Nancy. Why does Nancy drink so much? If that is the truth. Why is she an alcoholic? Why does Hillary Clinton oppose men so much? Come on. Ladies, that shouldn't be too hard for you if you remember the 90s. She was publicly humiliated. And her husband lied to the country. But you know what? Whether I like it or not, my Bible says that all authority is given by God and people are set there because He allowed it. Now you can sit here and people can claim, well, the United States is going to be glorified and all this. I don't know. We don't show up in Revelation. We aren't coming to Israel's aid, I hate to tell you. I think we need to still stand with Israel. But God's not going to bring the big old U.S. of A in with tanks and jets and missiles and stuff to deliver Israel. God is going to show up on the scene. And I promise you right now, we don't have a tank big enough. We don't have a missile that can penetrate deep enough. We don't have the troops that can stand against the Lord of hosts. You need to remember that. He is the Lord of hosts. Host is a military term. It means armies. Armies, multiple. In our country, once you go over 400,000, you're an army. That's our definition of an army. The Marine Corps is right around between 220 to 250 at its max at any given time. And it's usually functioning below 200. Poorly, in my opinion. But it's functioning. Our army is 1 million. That's the assets we have in our national army. They're not enough. They are not enough to stand against God. And God does not want Israel saying, oh, praise you, Mr. Trump. Thank you, Mr. Trump. God wants Israel to say, thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, my deliverer, because it was you and you alone who deflected those missiles. These people that buy those missiles, these terrorist groups, are not that stupid that they can't hit the broadside of a barn with a modern missile. The Scuds, I get, they were awful to begin with. But the things that were Israel has been attacked with are not Scuds. They're modern day weapons that are dialed in. They could put one on this seat if they wanted to. That's how dialed in they can be. But these people can't hit the broadside of a barn if it fell on them. Because God is protecting Israel. And one of these days, Israel is going to wake up and see the truth. We continue to stand. That's why we're supposed to bless Israel. Speak well. Pronounce the blessing of God in their lives. Now, some people may be sentenced to death for their sins, right? In many states, we still have a death penalty. You kill somebody, yeah, that's what the Bible, that's where they base that on. You murder, you will be killed. Just so you know, God does have mercy too on that. If you think I'm kidding, go back to Genesis and read Cain and Abel's little deal. He had mercy. Here's why. When somebody is put to death in their sins, they enter eternity without God. To never know God, to never know light, to never experience love ever, ever again. I'm not saying we do away with it. The death penalty was actually put there to deter people. You know, I read about Jeffrey Dahmer the other day. Something happened to him at 4 years of age. Don't know what. Nobody has ever said specifically, but at 4 years old, he suffered a double hernia and required surgery. And they said after he came out of that, he was never the same. I got my suspicions because of what started happening. He became sexually perverse and then wanted to kill people. He fantasized about it. And when he was finally caught, he was sentenced to life in prison for 16 murders. They couldn't nail him for the 17th because they couldn't find any evidence the guy ever existed or was missing. But he claimed him. In prison, Jeffrey found Jesus. Whether you like it or not, he found Jesus. He found salvation. And then he was beaten to death with a steel bar by an inmate who said God told him to do it. That one was crazy. And I believe I was told Ted Bundy that James Dobson had led him to the Lord. Well, I don't believe they can find salvation. Well, if there's no hope for them, there's no hope for you. Well, I never killed anybody and ate them or raped them. It doesn't matter. We'll get to that in a minute. Eternity is permanent. There's no coming back from it. There's no purgatory, folks. This is it. You have the choice. The choice is yours until the day they throw the dirt over your grave. Actually, until your heart stops beating. That's why I tell them, don't wait. You don't know. You don't know when it could happen. No matter what they've done to you, as a believer, your sin was forgiven. As a sinner, your first sin made you guilty of the whole law. You know what that first sin was? Taking your first breath. You're born into sin. Now, I will tell you, my personal belief is, God will not send a child who does not understand what salvation is, what sin is, to hell. I cannot wrap my mind around that concept. They did not expect children up until the age of 13 to be responsible for themselves in Hebrew tradition. All these aborted babies went to hell. Well, if it's wrong to do that, it's wrong to send them to hell. They didn't have a choice. That child didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. My parents didn't serve Jesus when I was little. I personally do not believe it. I ain't got nothing I can show you, but neither can you show me anything that says they go to hell. Because as a matter of fact, children are the only classification of human beings that Jesus said, if you hurt one, you offend one, it would be better off for them to tie a great big rock around your neck and throw you in the ocean. Think about that for a second. Yeah. I know Pat and I were talking at breakfast yesterday, and he was talking about going scuba diving in his pond. Now, if you've never scuba dived or snorkeled in good, clean water, you don't know what it's really about. But in Ohio, because of our silt and all the clay, we don't have those kinds of waters. And Pat said, I only got 7 feet down, and he said, it went black. He said, it was my first time. I know Matt and Michelle, they got their certifications this past fall. And they were in a quarry where there was rocks, and the water was green and clear. And had big fish, because Matt had a camera. Huge fish, but you're not allowed to fish in it. Their experience was a lot different than his. But his is what hell would be like. It's darkness. He said, I couldn't tell where I was. There's no way to know. That's what's so dangerous. People wonder, why did that diver go deep? He didn't know where he was. There's no light once it goes dark. Once you go to a certain point in the ocean, it's dark. It's black. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. You ever been partial to one person and chose them over somebody else? Just even though the other person may have been more qualified? They may have been right. You commit sin and are convicted by the law for partiality. I like Tim better than I like Sarah. And I'll give Tim the job, but Sarah's more qualified. I transgressed the law. I am now guilty of the law. 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, I've confessed over the last several weeks of certain sins I've done. I stole bubble gum from the store. I'm guilty of murder. I am guilty of the law, period. That's it. Not that I went out and killed anybody, and I'm not going to lie to you. There was one point I had somebody I had thought of killing. So have you. I thought a lot about it. So much so, I punched a steel I-beam at work. Yes, it hurt immensely. I never did it again. And I was a mechanic, so guess what I had to use, and I'm right-handed. You try to grab hold of a ratchet, and your hand don't want to work. I thought I was justified in my feelings, and I wasn't. Only to find out later, I'd been lied to. So had a lot of people. There's a lot of stuff going on that we didn't know about. But James is a preacher. He's a pastor in Jerusalem. The brother of Jesus. Yes, he had brothers. Mary didn't just have one kid and stop. And James understood. And how do you think he understood this? Anybody ever talk to your brothers, your sisters when you're little? Jesus was explaining the scriptures at the age of 12 to the scholars and blowing their minds. Don't you think he's going to talk to his little brother? He got this from Jesus. Whoever shall try to keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of it all. This is why I try to get through people. You cannot bring the law into grace. It's not there. I would rather be judged by grace than law. Why? I'm guilty of the whole thing. But Jesus, I didn't commit adultery. I didn't kill anybody. I might have lied a few times. Might have taken some things that weren't mine. I didn't take your name in vain. We're all guilty of the Sabbath, so don't even start getting holier than thou. I don't want to be guilty of it. And you know what? Now that I wrote that down there, it seems to me I may have stopped short on the verse. So hang on one second. Because there was something else I wanted to read about that. Maybe that was it. Nope, that wasn't it. Verse 11 says, "For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." The law of liberty is love. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Folks, we want mercy in our lives. Do you want mercy? I want mercy. I was ignorant for some of them. The other ones, now my difference, I know some of you still get upset about the word stupid. Forrest Gump said it is. Stupid is as stupid does. I knew better. Ignorant is not a sin, but it might as well be sometimes because you're still guilty of the law. But stupid is when I knew not to do it, and I still did it. You know, I know that if I stick this fork in that receptacle, it's going to shock me. It was a bobby pin. But I still did it. And you know what happened? Yeah, y'all know what happened. I let go of it real quick and got my first lesson in electricity. I told my dad the other day, I went over and helped him on a light, and we had to work on it hot so we knew what wires were where. And he's like, oh, just, I said, no. I said, when it comes to electric, Dad, I said, I don't care if it is only 120 volts. I am cautious. I said, I have been bit too many times. And he was a high voltage electrician, so he knew, but he's like, oh, I've been bit too. I said, yeah. I said, but there's a lesson that stuck in my mind for years. And I said, and it's when I first learned about spark plugs. He got this little evil grin on his face and chuckled a little bit. I said, you remember, don't you? And he's like, yeah, I think I do. I said, Dad, how does that engine work? He was starting to teach me about the age of 10, how gasoline engines worked. I said, well, how's that work? He said, well, that sends a spark. I said, how's it send a spark? He said, here, hold that wire. I have never forgotten that lesson in my life. As a matter of fact, spark plugs hurt worse than electric in your wall. Because they're sometimes about 10 to 20,000 volts. That's only 120. I remember it well. And I've tried to never violate that. We have our laws for a reason. Again, they're there to deter people. Speeding tickets, you get a speeding ticket, you're getting a fine. You get the fine, you're losing money. How many of you have ever gotten a stupid speeding ticket and you're like, that took me 20 hours of work. That $200 ticket. Law does not protect. The law does not protect you. You can think, well, it's against the law. Right? The law does not protect you. It only denies or gives permission. It is against the law to do certain things. It's against the law to kill, right? Every night you can turn on any news channel and somebody got killed. It's against the law to speed. But yet you can be speeding and still get passed. If someone violates our law, they are judged in accordance with said laws. Law does not have mercy. That is a godly attribute. And guess what, folks? That can only be brought through people. That's why we're judged by our peers. That's why we have a human judge. They can extend mercy. I don't know if it's ever true or not in the movies, though, anytime somebody was sentenced to hang or something, then the judge would always say, and God have mercy on your soul, when they were sentenced to death. See, ladies and gentlemen, we would rather live by law than God's grace. But in order to live by God's grace, we've got to extend it to people around us. Otherwise, you're living by the law. The law of the jungle. You hurt me, I hurt you back. Law only has vengeance, right? That's what the repercussions are. They're vengeance. I want them to hurt like I hurt. Yeah, It's vengeance. That's the only reason you want somebody put to death. It's because you hurt. I know of a young man, underage, drinking and driving, hit a car, killed the woman. Me, I had thoughts on how to handle it. And my thoughts weren't wrong either. But this woman's husband did not want this boy going to jail for the rest of his life. He was 19. Now, I will tell you this. I never drank and drove. Never. I walked home every time. And let me tell you what, you can get sobered up pretty quick walking all the way home and then have to walk all the way back to get your car. What he did was stupid. But she was a godly woman. And her husband said she would not want that. They showed mercy in that young man's life, and he's not in prison now. Doesn't mean he's not going to live with the thought now. You will never get away from that one. Oh, but I can lay those things, I can never think about them. Listen, sometimes thinking about the things that I've done is what's kept me from going back to them. We follow these laws, support these laws, and enforce these laws. But when someone has been condemned by these laws, especially death sentence, we should pray God's mercy in their lives. We should always pray for that, ladies and gentlemen. We should never be so focused on vengeance that we forget to pray mercy. Well, you hurt me. That person wronged my family. Here's one that really gets me. Your family wronged my great-great-great-grandpappy. Oh my gosh, get over it. I come from the hill people. They hold grudges. Hatfields and McCoys. Pfft. Yeah. I went several years ago to Virginia Beach to see my great, great uncle who was on Iwo Jima. He was on Iwo Jima for 30 of the 36 days. He was 92 at the time. I'd never met him before. He didn't know me from Adam. Could barely remember my dad because my dad hadn't seen him since my dad was a kid. But he was the last one of my grandpa's brothers still alive. And my dad's over there talking to him, trying to get any information about my grandpa's childhood, their childhood, to understand more about his grandpa. Because when the family exploded, it exploded. And the gal that she was there kind of help, his wife had passed away years ago, and one of their old friends was there helping him. And she had lived in the same area of West Virginia. And she said, I've got a question to ask you. And I said, go ahead. She said, what happened with this property in West Virginia? I said, when you find out, you tell me. Because that's what blew the family apart. 300 acres. Now, in the end, it was greed. There's gas coming off that property. There's coal on that property. There was an uncut forest on that property. The railroad had to buy some of the land that cut through that property. But it was not by any means a royal estate. Greed got hold of people. And it blew that family apart. Hardly any of them brothers would talk to each other. And you know what happened there? They brought that to the next generation. They may think they aren't acting the same, but they're identical to it, just different things. There was no money. My grandfather lost his legs. Here's the sad part. Nobody knows how. You can ask my boys. They know how the tree fell on me. because I told him. But my grandpa lost both of his legs, and nobody has any clue how. Had something to do with a train. They know where the legs are buried. That's a little morbid. I think I'd have taken them out back on the side of the hill and made them a little hole and covered them up. But things, my grandparents weren't rich. My grandma died living in what we'd call project housing in West Virginia. There was no money to fight over. They found other stupid things to fight over. Folks, if we don't forgive and we don't extend mercy, that stuff comes back to us. It comes back and it haunts us. You've got to stop it. I've stopped some things in my generation, and I'm trying to put the final nail in some of the others. And if you, I know you've been doing it, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you've got both hands with hammers in them trying to drive those nails to crucify. Focus on the one that you can put down right now and keep moving. Get to the others. One objective, then the next. Because otherwise, it'll drive you batty trying to deal with them all. All right. Now, Pat, if you'll bring up the prayer request, we will pray. We're going to pray for these things. And if you've got one you haven't turned in yet, we'll take it. We've got one. Oh, she's shutting the thing off. I thought that was a prayer request, Carsey. Is this the Melissa I know, Melissa? Where you at? There you are. Okay. Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, we're going to take these before the Lord. We're going to pray for them. And listen, folks, those of you that sent a prayer request forward, speak into these things. The devil wants to shut you up. Well, I can say a silent prayer. It doesn't stick to you. God hears it. Yeah, I get that. Do you know why it said to speak? We believe what we hear. You know, Patty, if I'm sitting here and I'm going to speak to you inside my head. I'm going to speak the word of God inside my head, and you're going to hear it and you're going to understand and you're going to have faith, right? No. It's not going to happen. You believe what you hear. That's why it requires discernment when we hear garbage. When you hear something, just push it back. Hold on. Let the waters settle down. You know, a little pebble can make a big splash. Oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Jesus. Come save us now. The world's coming to an end. Kid on the other side of the pond's like, what's your problem? I just threw a rock. Oh, I thought a meteor shower was coming. I try to use ridiculous things so people get it. We can be ridiculous as human beings. So let's go before the Lord. We'll pray for these. And then I will set you free to root for whatever team you finally decided to root for. Seeing how the Steelers, the Browns, or the Bengals, none of them are in there. Oh, it's going to be a fun game. That's why, because nobody cares. I ain't found one person in Ohio yet that cares, but praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty, our Lord.